All right, if you have your Bibles, let's look together in Matthew chapter 1. And you have your handouts already, so I had a little play on words here. Instead of "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas," the song says, but "I'm dreaming of a right a Christmas." And we need to remember as believers, the reason for the season. It's fun with the gift exchange. We'll talk about some of those things tonight and doing those things, but keeping the main thing the main thing. And so we'll share a few things tonight, and we'll read from Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and it should be also printed out there in your handout. It'll help us to move along, and I've got a few other passages of Scripture as well. But the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Father, bless the reading of thy word. May you be uplifted and glorified. Thank you so much for the sweet fellowship and sweet service we have this morning and the start of one also this evening. Lord, you've been so good to us. I thank you for the answered prayer and the testimonies that were shared tonight. What a blessing. What a privilege it is to serve a mighty, awesome, wonderful, blessing God. Thank you for your goodness toward your children. In Jesus' name, amen. What does Christmas mean to you? You know, as Brother Leonard had mentioned, us having an opportunity of being overseas, not only with the military, but as missionaries, but living in places and areas that maybe may not celebrate Christmas or don't fully know what it means. But even in a communist country, though things may be drab here and there, may not have all the bright lights and the colors of decorations, but even in some of those countries, we still saw things in reference to the birth of Christ or that Christ has risen in a communist country. And sometimes it was quite surprising to see those things. And maybe it's because the wall had fallen, some freedom had let loose, and they had some of their freedoms. But still, nonetheless, even talking to some of the people about the signs, many of them didn't even know what it meant, what they were hanging in the windows of their shop or in their stores. It was pretty. It was colorful. It was nice. It goes along with the season. So again, what does Christmas mean to you? How will we celebrate? How will we remember Christmas? And I know we've talked about it. We'll talk more about the giving and the receiving. But there's so much more to that. You know, to industry, when we refer to Christmas, it means hard work and big sales. To others, Christmas means long lines, Black Friday, a visit to home or to family, or maybe a once or twice a year visit to church. To some Christians, it means parties and gifts. To some, Christmas means parties and gifts exchanges. But to the believer, it means those things and so much more. So much more. It means that God has given him or her the best Christmas gift that could be given, and that is eternal life. Boy, I'd imagine the gift of knowing each year at Christmas of the giving and the receiving, enjoying those things, but knowing in my heart, in my life, I have received the greatest gift because Christ, Lord God, gave his son that I might have eternal life. Now, if we are preparing to have a right Christmas, I believe certain things must be a priority in our life. So let's follow the gospel story and see what a right Christmas means. Number one here, a right Christmas means making room for Jesus. We know the story here in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 7, where Mary and Joseph came to the inn, and the innkeeper basically said, "We have no room for you." He was the man who missed Christmas in all of its meanings. How many today will have no room for Jesus again this Christmas season? We'll meet folks and we'll see people online, and the Black Friday has already passed. Other shopping days have passed. There's more to come. And yet there'll still be people in line. And I've talked to other people who are non-believers and those who are of other faiths that do not recognize Christmas, but yet they'll still be caught up in the purchasing and the giving and being involved. But once again, how many people will yet again miss the meaning of Christmas this year? And if you're standing in line and you have an opportunity and you're talking to someone, I remember years ago, because of our income status as a young soldier, then later as a young preacher, we used to have what they call the layaway plan. You remember the old layaway program? Well, we didn't put it on the credit card. We laid it away for a dollar. And then we went back every month and made payments on it until we paid for it. And then we got to bring it home. But what an opportunity even now to take the opportunity when we talk of friends and other ones or neighbors or people you don't even know in the store. Again, I'm always telling you, invite a friend, invite a neighbor, invite a stranger, invite an enemy, just invite somebody to church. But what an opportunity to talk about them with them about, so what are you getting for the kids and grandkids this year? And talk about, maybe mention up, well, what's one of the greatest gifts that you've ever received at Christmas? And then tell them the greatest gift that you've ever received. The Lord Jesus. A right Christmas means making room for Jesus. Number two, a right Christmas means a time of worship. We must remember, it is a time of worship. I know we have a habit and a tradition in our family, and I may have shared this before, but and I'm sharing it years to come while I'm here, is that often we sit around, we read the Christmas story, and one of the little traditions we have, often we have sweet rolls for breakfast on Christmas morning. Nobody opens their gifts until Dad is up and dressed. And Dad always took a shower, dried his hair one hair at a time, took his time getting dressed while the kids were, hurry, Dad, hurry, Dad, always trying to get me to take my shower the night before and just put on a Santa Claus hat instead of taking a shower. And then we'd have our sweet rolls. We'd read the Christmas story. But we'd also, through the year, or toward the end of the year, getting ready for Christmas and encourage our kids to write a letter to Jesus. And we'd roll it up on a little piece of paper and put it in the tree, and we'd read some of those. And now Michelle would read some from the past and then read some from current. And now that the children are gone, unless they're here visiting, we'll have several of them visiting with us this year. We'll read from some of those of the past and read current ones. And it's so encouraging at times to have my children still, though they're married and have their own families, email their letters to Jesus back to Mom and Dad each year at Christmas. And that's what worship is all about. Is lifting his name, sharing others about Christ. When Jesus was born, a wonderful miracle of nature took place. The heavens opened up and the angels came down to speak to a group of shepherds there in the Judean hill. Notice with me there in your notes, Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to what? To worship him. Let's not forget, let's enjoy the giving, let's enjoy the receiving, and let's enjoy the food, and let's enjoy the cookies, Brother Cena. Let's enjoy all those things, but let's also remember to worship him and make sure that we praise him. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, I like this second word. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. It was for us. It was for all of mankind. The shepherds went to town. They found the baby. They knelt down and they worshiped him in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20. And the shepherds again returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things he had heard and seen. And it was told unto them. See, dear friends, if you are preparing to have a right Christmas, you must be ready to worship him. Well, I thought about what Crystal said about her grandmother, about what grandma was the first thing she was going to do when she got to heaven. You know, I've often thought the same thing. And there's some things I've come to the conclusion is that, you know, all the questions I have, when I get to heaven, they're not going to matter. They're just not going to matter. You know, I mean, how many angels can stand on the head of a needle? Who cares? However many God says to jump on, I guess that's the answer. But we have so many questions theologically or other things. Who did this? Who did this? Why did he do that? Why were they thinking? It'll all be about him. It'll be a worship. And dear friends, I think some of us may find out that we really did not know how to worship until we get to heaven. I just can't imagine. Don't get too caught up with the giving and receiving and forget to worship the King. Dear friends, if you're preparing to have the right Christmas, once again, you must be ready to worship. Number three, a right Christmas means making room for Jesus. It means a time of worship, but also a right Christmas means giving grace or grace giving. Boy, what a gracious and a wonderful opportunity to take advantage of the grace that God has given us and being friendly and giving toward others. Our family has another tradition that we practiced for many years, is that we always give a gift to a family in ministry that we hear of that is in need in some way. We often try to do it anonymously. Sometimes we can't do that, but we try to give something special to a missionary, evangelist, another pastor, young pastor, maybe family just struggling, just to be a blessing and encourage to him, because God has been so good to us. Why not give back into God's servants? Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11. And when they were come together in the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Here we see the wise men coming to bring their gifts to Jesus. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Each one of these gifts were a gift of love, a gift of value. Are we giving ourselves? as well as things of value? Are we saying, Lord, yes, I want to give of myself. I just don't want to give in exchange. I just don't want to give other things. I don't want to just give a special offering on Christmas. Lord, I want to give myself this year even more so than I ever have before. I want to make myself available to grow, to be used, to be a blessing, to do more for you. Dear friends, are we giving our time and our talents and our treasures to Him? Lord, what would you have me to do? We live in a country, and I know there's a lot of folks out there that are having it rougher than I am. And you can say the same thing. There's times things are very difficult, but you know God has been so good. I can't help but to think, folks, if no matter what was going on in my life, I must remind myself, no matter how things are right now, I know things are going to get better. I know one day I will be with my Lord, and all these things that I may have faced here down below where I've gone through before will not make a bit of difference. But dear friends, it's sad to say that many professed believers will spend much more money on Christmas gifts this year than they have given through the local church in the whole year. Sad to say, but it happens. Dear friends, how are we giving of our time, our talents, and our treasure? Lord, I'm willing to give you my time, not only for my benefit of reading the word and prayer, but give you my time to be a blessing to someone else. Lord, I want to do all I can to give of that which you've expected of me, taking my talents. And I'm so encouraged and so excited, and I hope you've noticed, but I really try to get more and more people involved in ministry, taking on responsibilities, playing a role, whether it's singing special music, playing in an instrument, teaching a class, ushering, or helping out in any way they can. We are a church family. And the more that we have people involved in ministering unto one another, folks, I think it can be contagious. I think it can be such a way, such a blessing that you look for another opportunity to serve and yet not always just to be served, but giving back to my brothers and my sisters here in my local church. Dear friends, as you know, and I know I've told you this before, but you know, giving is an act of worship as well as an act of obedience. Are you gracious in your giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure? Lord, it all belongs to you. Would you use me? Now, you won't see me signing up. I mean, if I was to go back in the back room in the foyer and sign my name down to sing for a Singspiration, my wife would come by and cross it out and say, sweetheart, we're going to have a conversation on the way home. That's not my talent. But I can serve in other ways, not just a preaching and teaching of the word, but sitting down. And I hope that you have learned and know my desire is to make myself available to talk, to listen. And if I don't know, if you don't tell me, I don't know. If you don't ask, I don't know. But when I am asked, I make every opportunity to make myself available. And Lord, that's what it's all about, friends, here at this Christmas season and throughout the year, is making ourselves available to minister unto others, exercising that opportunity of ministering through the graciousness or through grace. Number four, not only see this making room for Jesus to make our Christmas right, a time of worship and a time of giving grace, but number four, the right Christmas means telling others about Jesus. Well, you know, these are in no particular order, but what a wonderful opportunity we have. We have our new seasonal cards back there that are nice and red. They've got their Christmas look, opportunity to invite people, opportunity to tell others about Christ, invite them to the church. And I got tickled today. A bunch of us went together and had lunch, and Brother Draper gave a young man there on our way out a track or card, and it's good. Invited him to church, and as he went by, his sweet wife, Miss Bridget, says, "That wasn't our waiter. Here's another one. Make sure you give one to her too." You know, taking the opportunity and just sharing our faith, telling others, inviting them to church, and you never know what the response would be. I think this afternoon, but Brother John came out and said, you know, boy, that was such a blessing. He goes, she said, her and her mom was just talking. We need to find a church. Boom, there they are with an invitation. We're just right around the corner. You just never know. The right Christmas means telling others about Jesus. Take the opportunity, grab an invitation, take it with you, and invite people to come out to our Christmas cantata. As I mentioned before, we're going to start with an opening prayer, have a congregational song, give the choir a chance to warm up their voices. We'll go right into their cantata. We'll have a time of fellowship afterwards. Invite people to come. And they look hesitant, and they look like a deer, and the headlights say, look, there won't be any preaching, but there'll be singing. They might come. They might, who knows? And they might just find out, hey, things are a little different. Let me tell you, through my years of ministry, we used to have more, we had more visitors on our monthly game nights than we did at church. And often those monthly visitors, every 6 weeks, that came to game night at our, and then we pastored a young church. Michelle and I were the old folks. I mean, our average age was in the mid-20s. And they would come, and after a while they came to two or three game nights, and they thought, does the pastor ever come to these? He goes, yeah, he's sitting right over there. That's the pastor? Boy, he's as loud and as much fun as everyone else. Where's his wife? People found out we were normal just like they were. And it wasn't long before that, but people, some of them started showing up for church services and asking questions. And we had one guy even come by and said, you know, this is my second game night, and you have yet to push me, try to trust mine to get me to come to church on Sunday. I said, yeah, but I invite everybody when we open in prayer and we dismiss. If you don't have a place to go on Sunday, please visit. He said, yeah, but there was no pressure. I said, so why are we having this conversation? You want me to put some pressure on you? He said, no, but I would like to talk to you. You know, God gives us opportunity, but it starts with this. Why? It starts with telling others about Christ, inviting them to church, inviting them to a Christmas cantata, inviting them to an activity. Dear friends, the long night of waiting is over. The angels has been brought the gladdest and the sweetest message that the world has ever heard here in our passage. In fact, the world has never been the same since that day. But men are still living in the darkness of sin and is in need of Jesus. Even the technology that we have today will run across people that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. We'll run across people that have never seen or opened a copy of the Word of God. Some of them is by choice. Some of them is the way they were raised, whatever the case may be. But dear friends, what an opportunity to receive the greatest gift that one could ever receive. It's hard to imagine, but yes, the greatest thing to happen to mankind is still unknown to so many people. We have, as I mentioned this morning, we have commercialized Jesus right out of our Christmas. I mean, nowadays, anywhere, everything but. And it bothers me to see that X in MAS so much. It really does. And we've just taken Christ out of Christmas. Don't misunderstand. I love Christmas. It's not what it was when I was growing up. And it's not what it was here in the past. And even in recent years in America, things are changing. But I'm not going to allow them in the world, in the industry, to rob me of my joy of the birth of my Savior. I thought we don't have any more where some of you, I gave this illustration before, where remember we used to show our kids and we'd open the wallet and go, and we'd show all of our pictures. I often wanted back in those early days to put a picture in there of an unknown baby and let's say, yeah, that's baby Jesus. I met him back in 1968, you know, whatever the case may be, but taking the opportunity. Because right now, again, as I mentioned this morning, people are thinking about it. They're thinking about Christmas. You know, ask them what Christmas means. What are they going to do? Get upset and say, don't bother me, walk off? Right? Ask them what Christmas means to them. Start a conversation. Invite them to church. You have somewhere to go to worship this year at Christmas. May I challenge you today to focus on God's gift to the world. As we give gifts to one another, we give gifts to our family. We exchange gifts with coworkers or with family members or whatever we do. Let's remember the greatest gift that we've ever received and take an opportunity, say, hey, with the best that I can, I'm going to make sure that I prepare and may we dream of a right Christmas this year. Enjoy the season of giving. Enjoy the receiving, but make sure Jesus is the centerpiece of your home and of your life, whatever the case may be. One thing I look forward to this year, I think this is only going to be the second Christmas that we've had some of our grandkids, and this time we'll have 6 of our grandchildren here. I'm looking forward to them and sharing and talking with them about some of the traditions their parents had and encouraging them to write the letters to Jesus and talking about that, reading a Christmas story. And I'm really, really excited because I think this might be only the second Christmas that we have had all of our grandchildren there, knowing of the 6 that are going to be there, knowing by testimony Thus far, of four of those six have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Two that are younger are still learning and growing. They're very young. I'm excited about our older grandson and our junior high granddaughter that trusted Christ at camp this past year, and our grandson that the year before, and our other grandson who trusted Christ at camp earlier this year. I'm looking forward to talking to them and getting them aside and talking a little bit about Christmas and what they think about it, and talking to Grandpa and giving some time to me in that area. Dear friends, let us do these four things. Let us make room for Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. Let's bow down and worship Him during this season. It should be all, but even emphasize even more so during this Christmas season, because the world and the industry has tried to change it. Let's do what we can to bring it back in. Bring your gifts unto Him and tell others the sweet story of Jesus and His love. Let's do all we can this year in sharing with others, and let's dream, and let's work, and let's plan, and let's prepare for a right Christmas, putting Christ in His place, honoring Him, enjoying the gifts, enjoying the receiving, enjoying all the other things that come at Christmas. But remember, even with all the peripheral, we can still raise up and make Jesus the main thing and worship Him. Let's pray. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for Your goodness, the blessings and joy of service and of fellowship. Lord, thank You, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity, Father, for Michelle and I to be here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank You for our church family, and as we see our church family grow, Lord, but most importantly, Lord, grow closer to You and closer to one another. Father, bless our time now as we dismiss. Bless our fellowship. May You be uplifted and glorified in all that is said and done. And Father, help us to strive to make it a wonderful Christmas, and maybe even to share and to teach someone else about a right Christmas and introduce them to the Savior. Father, we love You, and we thank You for Your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you and God loves you.